Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's National Signing Day, early signing day for a lot of high school kids from around the country. And we're going to talk about it and get your thoughts. I don't know a whole lot about these guys. I know the Gators got their first signee this morning. Kid named Tony Livingston out of Tampa, Florida, big tight end, supposed to be very athletic. So he's all signed, sealed, and delivered as a Gator as we open up the program. and there's JC with his Rams stuff on.
What a night. Oh, great.
That was Monday night, JC.
Well, that was last
night. What about your night last night?
I was watching Yellowstone from Sunday. What happened last night?
The Memphis
Tigers. I know.
By the way, they ain't real good. They've lost several times this year. Took y'all behind the woodshed.
Dude, they're 6-4 or 6-5. Well, I mean,
they got blown out by Ole Miss.
Okay, so I mean, listen, it's college basketball, QB. Don't get all excited yet. Listen, Alabama has had some good wins, but last night they were clearly beaten by a team that just wanted it more. I agree with you. I think this kind of happened. I mean, this, you go on the road sometimes during the middle of the week and it happens. I think I don't think it's that big of a surprise. I think you're going to get into conference play and you're going to see teams travel to places like Columbia, South Carolina, or Missouri and have a bad night. It just happens. But it's okay.
You named two awful basketball
teams. Yeah, I did. But that was just as an example. I think I think it's really going to set up for an exciting SEC season. I like Auburn. I like Kentucky. I like Tennessee. Obviously, I like Alabama. I think the Gators have a lot of potential to do some disruptive things in the league against some teams. Georgia has a big win this year. It's going to be interesting as we get into January, and again, January 5th, when Alabama comes for the home opener of Florida, should be hopefully a sellout crowd in the O'Connell Center. I would hope it is, because that's probably one of the best three best teams you'll see coming to town.
Yep. Facebook Live, John says, brought to you by Melton Law. He says, Devin Moore's a commitment, by the way, JC.
He says, recruiting, yeah.
He said, quote, there are three certain things in life. Death, taxes, and scared money don't make money.
Listen, name, image, and likeness, man. Everything is so different, college football, QB. And speaking of, I know it's recruiting time, and that's what we want to focus on. I really don't like the early signing period. I know why they did it. I still think they could have pushed it off to January, February. One of the reasons why I heard they did do it was because these kids wanted to have it over with so they could get on with things and not have to wait through the holidays into next year. And this way the coaches could oblige by that and get this process finished for these kids, because it's tough for a lot of these kids with all these decisions they have to make and so forth, all these visits and things of that nature. But QB, here's what I'm really worried about is that I've got right here in front of me is a bowl pool. This is just a simple little bowl pool. You circle the winner, you put your number by it. The bowl games and the bowl season are good for players. They're good for families of the players, and they're good, I guess, for those who want to play. But there are so many players who don't want to play. And what bothers me is that unless we get into a playoff discussion, I'm not so sure these bowl games have the same meaning as they once did. When you would go to the Rose Bowl, you would have a packed Rose Bowl, 100,000 fans, and they really wanted to win that game. But I'm telling you, I've talked to some Ohio State fans who just don't care because they're not playing in the playoffs, because the playoff format won't allow them to play because there's not enough spots, and because they lost to Michigan, of course, and things are down. And yet here they are playing in the Rose Bowl against Utah, and nobody's thrilled about it. And it used to be a thrilling thing to have the Rose Bowl, and I think it's been a dilution process. And a process where, because some players are more concerned about where their draft status is or their health, playing in these games is meaningless exercise. And it didn't used to be that way. So if they expand the playoffs, if you look at the playoff expansion as something different that could preserve the postseason as opposed to dilute the regular season, then I think you might have some meaning behind these bowl games. But until that happens, these games are just glorified exhibitions, QB. And I think you'll see that in the viewership and in the attendance figures.
Yep. Jerry says, love JC being on the show. I want to do what he does for a living. He's always playing golf and traveling.
Well, listen, it's been 57 years of work that's allowed some of the, not 57 years of work, but I've worked a lot in the last 30 to try to get to where we're at, but I still work. Thank you though. I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah. Let's see here. Dan says with NIL, these bowl sponsors should just pay the players to participate in the game.
It's true. I mean, what does a player get? What is a Clemson Tiger getting out of playing in the Cheez-It Bowl against Iowa State if he's considering going to the draft? What does the Fiesta Bowl mean? Why, again, Ohio State and the Rose Bowl, that used to be a big deal. They would play USC, they'd play Washington or some, and here they are thinking about
– I'm going to tell you right now, JC.
They don't care.
I know you got a friend that likes Ohio State and he's disappointed or whatever. I can promise you the Rose Bowl is going to be packed. It'll be sold out.
You think
it's Iowa? It's Iowa playing Ohio State, correct? I mean, not Iowa.
No, it's not Iowa.
Utah, who's never been.
Utah. But Utah doesn't have a – I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe Utah
fans – It will be packed.
Utah fans will get excited.
I'll lunch wager with you right now that it's packed.
I'm just telling you, a lot of Ohio State folks are
well, I mean – Here's the thing. They probably get how many? 20,000 tickets maybe? I believe there's way more than 20,000 Ohio State alumni in a world. Mm-hmm. That place will be sold out.
Well, listen, it's kind of like this. You think Alabama fans would be thrilled about playing in the Sugar Bowl right now?
Well, no, Alabama has won more national titles and been in the hunt more than Ohio State has.
But the expectation level is the same, QB. And Oklahoma, well, same thing with them. Are they really jacked up about playing in the Alamo Bowl against Oregon?
Well, the problem is the bowl, the playoff system has screwed the bowl system.
That's right. That's what I mean. But I think if we got more teams into the playoff system, we wouldn't have this postseason issue that we're having with apathy and with guys trying to figure out whether or not playing is dangerous because of their potential draft status. Those
but
are the things
thing.
That
– Here's the other thing. There's only a handful of guys that know they're going to be first-round draft picks. Okay? The other dudes don't have any idea where they're going to be slotted. So – You could go out and play really well against an Ohio State team and increase your draft value.
That is true. And I do know of one guy that played South Carolina that did exactly that on the defensive line. But and you're right, that's true. But those players are few and far between too. It just almost feels like I don't know. Maybe
there's a few and far between guys that are guaranteed first round picks.
Okay, but I mean, still, if you get drafted,
you're only talking 30.
Well,
32, however many teams are.
Yes, but being drafted is important too. And if you have a blown ACL or if you have a serious injury, that is in jeopardy because
they're going to go. I guarantee you, those guys are going to go play in the Senior Bowl.
Well, I mean, they might.
And they could blow their knee out there.
No, that makes no sense to me. What makes zero sense?
If you're not a guaranteed first round pick, why you would not play?
But it happens, and a lot of guys don't play in these games.
I don't agree with it. That's just my personal opinion. I don't agree with it.
No, I mean you look at it from the player playing in the game, trying to improve.
Like Zach Carter is sitting out for the Gators, opting out. He needs to play. He needs as much tape as he can get.
But the reality is that he's not going to play. So. Right. And look at all those Gators that didn't play in that Cotton Bowl last year. That was a joke. And so we've got to do something about expanding the playoffs to get these kids back into the postseason frame of mind. I know these bowl games are important to a lot of folks, but they're also glorified scrimmages. And I don't know. I mean, you look at the attendance, look at these empty stadiums, and it's just basically there for gamblers. It seems to me.
Well, if it's not a major bowl, they've always had trouble with attendance. John says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mel Law, FSU's OC is informing the players this morning that he's leaving for Oregon. Imagine finding that out after you faxed in your national letter of intent.
I don't
even know who the OC at FSU is. Have no idea.
Well, you know, there's a lot of work to be done at FSU. Kimmy, I can recall the Sugar Bowl being half empty many times. I mean, that Florida-Louisville game had 40,000 fans in it. So I don't know. I want to see more in the postseason. I want to see more dedication to the college season postseason rather than stacking up 40 bowl games when 30 of them are just out there to – I don't know what they're doing. So, I can't figure out who's going to play, who's not going to play, who's good, who's not good. I mean, does anybody really know Virginia and SMU, who's going to win that game, or Clemson, Iowa State?
So well, then don't do your bowl. Even if you had that information, is it going to help them?
Well, it would help if you knew who was playing.
Well, nobody knows. And it doesn't matter. Could you tell me who plays for Virginia anyway?
Okay, so my point is I wish it mattered. That's why I wish it did. That's what I'm trying to get across to you is that I wish it did matter. And I wish Ohio State fans were excited about going to the Rose Bowl. I mean, maybe they're excited about
you're
going
talking
to Southern
California. You're talking to one.
He talks to many.
I mean, like I told you, I will do whatever you want, whatever kind of lunch bet you want, that the Rose Bowl is sold out. Sold out. Because the Ohio State fan base, the true Ohio State fans will be there because they love going to the Rose Bowl. Guarantee it.
I don't know.
Brad says the big four bowls should be playoff games. Who cares about the Rose and Sugar Bowl? Well, they rotate them, Brad. So the Rose and Sugar are usually
What Brad should be concerned about and what he should be upset about is why they're playing the two most important games on New Year's Eve, which is absolutely nonsensical to me.
When would you play them?
New Year's Day.
Well, maybe. What is the difference?
If people have lives on New Year's Eve, a lot of folks don't want to go to a football game. They've got other things to do, or they need to travel. Or
well, here's
it's
the
a
thing,
weekend,
JC.
Or it's a work day.
The people you're referring to that are you're basically referring to them that they want to party for the new year. Well, they ain't going to wake up and be able to go to the game the next day.
I'm just telling you, dude, it should be on New Year's Day. This thing about New Year's Eve football, the two most important games are being played before the four games on New Year's Day.
There's like five or six games after that one. So
I know.
That doesn't bother me. That's the least of our worries. The Gators did flip the four-star corner from Naples from Notre Dame this morning. He is coming to the University of Florida. His name is Devin Moore. That's a big gift for the Gators, and it looks like Billy Napier's already flipping folks. So we'll see how the rest of it goes, and a big day for these kids around the country.
He's flipping the roster. I mean, he's trying to get his own roster there, and that's
he's trying to get good, talented football players is what he's trying to do.
Exactly.
This kid was reported, was signed, sealed, and delivered to the Irish, and now he is going to be
out of there.
Three and a half, four hours away from home. Jason says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mail Law. Morning, guys. I'm not too worried about the kids transferring, but all of that. But out of all of them, Diabate was the one I wish we could have held on. Close to being a Rhodes Scholar and was leading tackler as a backup this year, I believe, in Napier's process. There's more to this. And I hope the fan base will give him a – look, Billy Napier, whether you're a Gator fan or not, buckle your seatbelt. This is not going to be a 3 or 4 year turnover. He is in it for a while, folks, because they're giving him every. We have a higher allotment now for recruiting than Georgia and Alabama at this point. It could change. We have a higher allotment for our assistant coaches' salaries, and they have the new facility they're moving into. So they have finally said, you know what?
They have finally said we're tired of being average and we're going to invest in our program after 13 years of crap. And that's good to see because that's what they need here at Florida before Florida turns into Tennessee. And I think it's great that somebody has finally made that decision. Isn't it great that in 2021 we've got this new idea of actually investing in football? It's great.
Yep. Dan says – we're so far behind, but we're now catching up. Dan says Napier is looking for teammates and getting rid of individual contractors. Wow, I like the way he said that. I agree 100% with that. 110%, by the way. We had way too many individual contractors.
Well,
they're all leaving, which is
they're
good.
Changing that. They're changing that look. Yeah.
John says we have a director of everything now. Yeah, we got a full army of folks coming in here, a director of this, a director of that. Hey, whatever it takes. Turn your car truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. This December, mention promo code Shane, receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. JC, by the way, we didn't talk about the Peachland Dentistry weekend picks. You went 3-8. I went 4-7.
I think you went 3-8, bro.
No, I did not. Yeah. I got
who
it
are your,
down right
who,
here.
Who are your winners?
My winners were the Kansas City Chiefs, the Tennessee Titans, the Midshipmen, and the Green Bay Packers.
Did I not have the Kansas City Chiefs?
Nope, you have the Las Vegas Raiders is what it said.
Oh, right well, here. There's a difference. Wait, the Kansas City, who played on you had – okay, I'll look at that.
The Raiders were getting 10, and you took the Raiders.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, what was the – what were your four wins? The Chiefs and who?
The Chiefs and the Raiders.
Right, no, you had the Chiefs, and who were the other three winners you had?
I had the Chiefs, I had the Titans, I had the Navy Midshipmen, and I had the Packers.
Oh, it was the Packers on Monday night. Right, that's the game. Okay, so and I had the Bears?
No, you had the Packers. You only had three winners. You had Tennessee, Denver, and Green Bay. That's all you had. I'm good. Tennessee. Good thing I keep up with this stuff as well.
Tennessee, Denver, and Green Bay.
Yep, and that puts you at 3-8. I went 4-7, so now I have, a 5 or 6 game lead?
You're back up 4 games. You were up 3 going in. So if you went, if you got one extra win than I did, Tennessee.
Well, it's not, Kansas. Did I? I did. I mean, it's documented. All the
Navy,
listeners around the world heard it.
Navy, you had Navy, you had Tennessee, and Kansas City. What's your fourth one?
Dude, are you not listening? Kansas City, Tennessee, Navy, and Green Bay.
You had Chicago, dude.
No, I did
not. You had
not.
Chicago. It's right there. Chicago.
Well, you wrote it down wrong. I have it written down right here. I did not take Chicago. I don't know why
you had that. Chicago.
No, I didn't. Right. We'll go back and you can go back and look at the tape.
All right, watch the tape.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback in fantasy. I would not take the Bears with all the mess they have going on. So
they
anyway.
Do have a mess. And guess what? We get to watch them play next week on Monday night. Unbelievable. Why don't they flex some of these teams out of there? I can't stomach watching the Bears. It's just bad. It's bad for me. It's unhealthy. I'd rather watch, some rerun on some sitcom. Give me Yellowstone season 3. I can't take the Bears anymore. The Bears are awful. Fields is lost. The coaches are lame duck. They're a horrible organization. They don't draft well. They're brutal to watch. They lose. They're horrible.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Justin Fields would be a starter for more than 3 years in the National Football League?
No, I really don't. I don't think he's got any idea what's going on. No, it's too fast for him. The game doesn't slow down enough for him, and it won't. It'll just get worse. Now, maybe he'll get better, but I still don't see it with that guy. I don't see him doing the things.
Here's a thing that
not even that young quarterbacks do.
I was on a show the other day. I can't remember what show it was on, and they were talking about, the funny thing to me is when people talk about, when a kid goes to a program, regardless of the sport, this coach didn't develop him correctly. Mm. Well, folks, sometimes you can't develop a player. They are what they are. And that's what drives me crazy. Oh, I know what it was. It was talking about how I think they were talking about Dan Mullen, the difference between how he developed Kyle Trask and didn't develop Felipe and hasn't developed Emery. Well, look, you can only do so much. If a quarterback, that's the thing is, when quarterbacks go to these 707s, these Nike Elite 11s, okay, there's no processing information. It's about just your measurables, how big, how strong your arm is, how hard you can throw it, all these type of things. Yeah, they do a little 707, but that's not real football. So when people talk about, well, they didn't develop that guy. Well, they did coach him exactly like they coached the other player The other player just processes the information and can do it better. And it drives me insane when people say that. But some people just can't be developed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know if that made any sense.
I get your point. I don't know if Kyle Trask even sees the field if Felipe doesn't break his foot. And I don't even know if
That's not my point.
No, I know that's not your point. But if he's responsible for developing Kyle Trask, he wasn't even going to play Kyle Trask. So I don't know how you could have both. And when you look at, you know, what your point is, you can also flip that upside down and say, well, look at what Mac Jones did. He learned for 2.5 years before
Mac Jones could throw the damn football coming out of bowls.
Nobody knew that until he was put in against Auburn, bro, because he never played.
Right. But if you're playing at the quarterback position in at college, there's one thing you can do. You can throw a football. You may not throw it well. You may not throw it accurately. But you do have some throwing ability. It's not like he came in there left-handed and they taught him how to throw it right-handed.
No, but we've seen so many quarterbacks who have great arms who have no idea between the ears. And Mac Jones processed for 2.5 years before he showed what he can do.
Here's the thing.
They had other guys in front.
No, but here's the thing. I look at Mac Jones. We're using him as an example about how they developed him. See, I disagree with that. I think they made him a really good football player, but you don't develop quarterbacks' decision making and accuracy. Those are things you cannot teach. And he had those whether he ever took a snap or not. It's the same way with me. I had that before I took a snap.
Right. But there was a reason for your success coming from other things. A, you had the right coach to show you, and you got his system. He understood that you got his system. B, Mac Jones understood what Sark and these guys wanted to do better than probably. Look, Jalen Hurts even did better with Lincoln Riley and guys like that as opposed to Brian Daboll, okay? When Jalen Hurts couldn't even throw a 20-yard pass or a dig or a stick route against Washington in a playoff game, he didn't know you told me. He said, this kid can't throw the football. And now he's starting for the Eagles, even though I don't think he's that good anyway. He's a starting quarterback. Now, he is good at certain things.
He's like Lamar. He's good at certain things.
Right, yes. But when he was in Oklahoma, dude, and Lincoln Riley showed him what offense was like aerial through the air, that changed Jalen Hurts. That's what got him drafted. And at the position he got drafted, it was because he went to Lincoln Riley's offense. And he got out of Brian Daboll's offense. Mac Jones benefited from Steve Sarkisian, and I think you benefited from Steve Spurrier, and that is part of development. I don't care how you want to put it. That is exactly what that is.
It is, but the development has not – I'm not talking about anything with the system. I'm talking about physical ability. All right, I got a couple
of things. Lex Smith had physical ability, but he couldn't throw – he couldn't hit
– That's my point. Right. That is my point right now.
Right.
Felipe had all the physical ability in the world, and people talk about, well, he throws it to the other team. Same way with the Emery. You can't teach the things that can't be taught. That made no sense. John says, John says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mel Hall, folks on Twitter were laughing at Marco Wilson on Monday night for that TD he gave up with Cooper Kupp. It was perfect. It was a perfect coverage and a perfect throw by Stafford.
Let me tell you something.
Marco, I told people last year.
I don't care who.
Marco Wilson.
Cooper Kupp.
Marco Wilson would play on Sundays, and the kid is starting as a rookie. I'm telling you.
Yeah, listen, man.
Great player. Listen,
you can't. Come on. I mean, when Stafford gets – when they get their offense going, they can play with any team in the NFL. There's been a problem with consistency with the Rams. But they played their best game, and Marco Wilson just happened to be on the other side of the football that night. They played their best game of the season, the Rams did offensively. And Arizona, for whatever you want to say, is really a strange team, going 3-3 at home and 7-0 on the road. But I still submit they're one of the better teams in the NFL, and they are. And the Rams just had the night. You know, it's sometimes a team will just connect, and then other times the Rams will play like they did against Tennessee and look like hell. And right now I'm very concerned about the NFL QB as I think most fans are coming up this weekend with all these players. I have 75 players with COVID. I mean, here's the thing. Odell Beckham Jr., a lot of these players, QB, I don't understand this, and I know you can't give me an answer to it, but these players are all vaccinated. 99-some-odd percent of these guys are vaccinated, and now we're getting positive tests in some cases, we're getting fake positive tests, like with Tyler Higbee of the Rams before the Cardinals game, asymptomatic. If these guys are asymptomatic, why are they being tested if they're vaccinated? Can you answer that one simple question? And no, it is ruining rosters, dude. Cleveland has got 9 guys out. The Rams have got 7, 8, 9 guys out. This is a problem for me because if you're vaccinated and doing everything you want to do and you're asymptomatic, what in the hell is the test for? Why are we doing that? And it's killing these rosters, and it's going to affect the standings and the playoffs. It absolutely is. Look at Baltimore. Look at Cleveland. Look at the Rams. These teams, I mean, they're running out of players, and you can't play like that. That's not right. And these rosters are not the same. And I want my money back. As a season ticket holder, why should I pay for the Rams game that I have a ticket for this weekend when half the team's not going to be there? Give me my money back or not play the game. Let's just not play the game.
Well, could they move the game? Didn't they do that last year? Without
I don't think the NFL is going to do that this year unless everybody just comes down with COVID after being vaccinated and asymptomatic. It doesn't. Why are we testing if we're asymptomatic and we're vaccinated? Somebody answer that question on Facebook Live, please. Somebody.
Well, they will. And like you said, I don't follow the news. I didn't even know this. You're telling
me something. That's what's going on. I mean, these teams are losing their players.
Don't some of these guys have the flu and they're playing or no? Or that was college football.
My point is just the total, the reason why we're testing for Tyler Higbee did not have COVID, but missed the game because of a false test that he took as he was vaccinated and asymptomatic. Why is he taking that test? And why did he miss that game? It doesn't make any sense to me. And I think the NFL is dropping the ball figuratively here because these rosters are being dramatically influenced, and it does affect season ticket holders. It affects playoff standings. It affects everything, money, all of it. And I don't understand this whole process. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Facebook Live brought to you by Metal Law. Eric says, I do not think the Gators will be bad next year. I don't think they will be in the SEC championship game, but they will be better than this season. Talent level is definitely improved. Yeah. I mean, this guy's going to go get good football players. I'm not concerned about that at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
JC.
Yeah.
I had another Facebook Live. Let me see if I can.
I mean, what do you think about the early signing period? Are you in favor of it or not?
Well, I think they're definitely going to change the date of it to maybe
January,
early January sometime, because they want to get those kids on campus. I get that. Mm-hmm. But it's with all the coaching changes and stuff, it's really not
great. It's not right. Not great at all. It's a bad idea. I think also another thing they should do is, like the NFL, these coaches don't go anywhere until it's over, until the season's over. And you can't tamper with them. And that's another thing I wish would change. But, you know, I wish for a lot of things. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
I got a text here on the Titan Mar text line. Speaking of bowl games, this comes from George. George says, Shane, do you think the Gators are going to be at full force and play hard against UCF? I mean, I hope they play hard. I mean, I'm sure they're going to be missing some players. A lot of guys have transferred. I don't think that's going to be a big deal. But it's interesting because – the old coaching staff is still coaching the team, and they all know they're not coming back. That is a very strange deal because usually when this happens, the incoming coach, he keeps a couple guys from the staff. And so, you know, those guys are going busting their tails and doing it. There's no telling because not one single coach is being retained.
So, well, Greg Knox. Yeah, Greg Knox can go 3-0 as a head coach if he wins this game. I really like that guy. I hope he gets a job somewhere. He did a great job with Mississippi State and Gator Bowl when they waxed Louisville, and he did a great job.
But everybody's complained about him all year long. You know that?
They can complain. I mean, look, everybody complains, right? When you're 6-6, it's a complaint fest.
Well, everybody's complained about the play of the running backs, and they've complained about special teams, and he's a special teams coordinator.
Yeah, well, listen, he could possibly go 3-0 as the head coach, interim, that is. And I think he'll get a job somewhere. Maybe not. Maybe he won't. But, give him credit for sticking in there. It's a paycheck, I guess. Yeah.
Dan says on Facebook, I like the idea of only academically eligible players can sign early and a window for transfer portal. Yeah, they're going to have to come up with the transfer portal window, because right now you can do it any time of the
year. It's a free for all, man. It's an absolute free for all. But listen, if coaches and if they have problems with NIL, you know, coaches have the same deal. They get NIL too. They can do whatever they want, get as much as they want, go wherever they want. They can suck at what they do and get paid millions and millions of dollars. So I don't know. I think the biggest thing would be the playoff, followed by, you know, the recruiting dates.
Just don't play the playoffs on New Year's Eve, Jason.
I just don't understand the point of that. No, I think we could get that on New Year's Day and move some of these other games to New Year's Eve, but whatever. I mean, the weekend is the weekend for the biggest things. And New Year's Day was the biggest day of the bowl games. It was the biggest day. And it always ended with the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. And it still does. But I want to see the most important games.
No, it doesn't end there, dude. There's like a game on January 5th.
I know, but on New Year's Day, those are the last two games, right? You watch the Rose Bowl through dinner, and then after dinner, you settle in for the Sugar Bowl at night. Or the Orange Bowl, right? Sometimes they run those concurrently, or they did. So, you know, I don't want to see a game at noon, but those are for the Gator Bowl and the Outback and, you know, the old Citrus Bowl and so forth. But I want to see the playoff games on the weekend. I don't want to see them on New Year's Eve. But that's what we got, so that's what we're going to do. And Alabama's going to play Cincinnati and Dallas at 2:30 Central.
Well, you're arguing about and we'll have the Michigan weekend play makes no sense, because New Year's Day doesn't always fall on the weekend.
No, I meant on New Year's Day. Excuse me. I, in this case, it is on the weekend. But, yes, I'm thinking New Year's Day. New Year's Day, and that's the holiday. That's when nobody, you know, except the central personnel has to work. And you play the most important games on that day as opposed to on New Year's Eve.
There's a lot of people in this country that don't give a damn about the playoff.
No,
you know, I mean, they're not sports
fans. It's too bad. No, it's 100% right. And we're speaking on a sports show here. Okay.
Right.
So for us,
I don't have a problem with it on New Year's Eve. I think that doesn't bother me. On Tuesday, January 4th is your last bowl game, JC.
Yeah, LSU. You know, LSU
plays Kansas State in the Texas Bowl.
Okay. Is LSU going to have 45 players for that game?
I don't even know who's going to coach that game.
I don't. Yeah. This is just all meaningless to me. And some of these bowl games are just that. And I wish we had a more of an emphasis, and I think we will get to this, an emphasis on the postseason that encapsulates more teams playing for bigger prizes than the exhibition that we see currently. And again, you can say it's going to be a packed Rose Bowl. I can tell you there are a lot of Ohio State fans who I've personally talked to that could not really get – that are not that excited about Utah. Now, maybe they're still coming off this Miami or Michigan debacle, and it's been the first time in years for that to happen, and so I get it. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson in the Heisman Trophy talked about beating Ohio State. That's the biggest thing in their world, and that's fine. But now they're playing for a championship, okay, something bigger than that. I think it's bigger than that. Maybe it's not. I can tell you this. If Michigan beats Georgia, Indianapolis is going to be overrun with blue and maize and gold, or maize or whatever the hell their colors are, and there's going to be 60,000 Michigan fans driving down to Indianapolis, and there will be zero chance of me getting a ticket to watch Alabama play.
Because Cincinnati beats y'all.
Well, that there will be even more – the prices for the tickets will be even more in demand, because you'll have two fan bases literally within 2.5 hours of the site of the game. It's just like when Alabama played, you know, LSU in the Sugar Bowl. You'll have that, and Indianapolis wants that. But I don't think Cincinnati's going to beat Alabama.
No, there's no chance. All right, before I let you go, JC, I want you to listen to Rob's Facebook Live, Rocky Mountain Mental Law. Combination of the NIL, transfer portal, and early signings absolutely killing the sport. Yep. I have loved my whole life. The NCAA trying to make too many people happy, which will lead to no one being happy. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's some real merit behind that tweet or that message, because the college football is changing so fast, so quickly, that I don't think people can really get their hands around it very well. And I think we've got to do two things. We've got to talk about the playoffs expanding. We've got to talk about moving back the early signing period, because the early signing period is why we had this coaching carousel that I think is not good. It's not healthy. Let's wait until the end of the season, get these coaches where they want to be, but not while things are happening, and certainly not before the December 15th date. We've got to get rid of that December 15th date, put it to January. That would be the way I'd start right there. Playoffs, early signing period, work from there. Mm-hmm.
Rick says, bite your lip, Shane, since he's going to make you look bad. Rick, there's no way.
Everybody is pulling for Cincinnati. They're the cute team out there, and I get it. Look, if they bring that team that played against Tulsa, Navy, and whoever else they played, it's going to be ugly. Now, Alabama's got some guys missing, but I still even think the backups are good enough. So,
yeah. All right, JC, before we let you go, I want you to hear This Day in Sports brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's hiring team members of all levels of experience. They'll give you a $1,000 signing bonus for qualified positions. Give them a call, 352-376-2366. This Day in Sports in 1980. Mm-hmm. So what's that, 41 years ago, almost 42 years ago,
gosh.
New York Yankees' Dave Winfield becomes the highest paid player. Mm-hmm. He signed a 10-year, $15 million deal.
Yeah, well.
So now, what are they getting now, like $250 million for 10 years?
Oh, geez. Some of them are getting even more than that, $30 million. I mean, what Max Scherzer signed for was $50 million a year. He got a four-year contract for $200 million. And the guy plays once every 5 days. So, you know, it's so out of control. And I don't know how TV's paying for it, because everybody you talk to out there is cutting their cord. Nobody buys cable anymore. It's all streaming. Where is this money coming from? I've got to, you know, that would be a great exercise for a research project. Where is the money from TV coming from? Because pretty soon, every team in the SEC. Nothing else to do. Every team in the SEC is about to get $90 million a year. On the new contract.
Well, that's why we go to these bowl games that nobody's sitting in them.
Yeah,
because they want the money.
I know. But who's paying for this? Like I said, every kid, everybody I know under the age of 25 does not have cable TV. Every Airbnb and Vrbo you go to does not have cable TV. It's all streaming. Where is all this money coming? I'm somebody educate me, please, and tell me where all this money's coming from to pay these coaches what they're getting, to pay these pitchers what they're getting, to pay these television contracts for these conferences, what they are getting. And then why is schools like Miami, University of Miami, who's getting all this money from the ACC contract, still not investing in their football program? Well, they are now. They just paid their AD $3 million. But before that, when Donna Shalala was running policy down there, where was all the money going? I'll tell you where it was going. It was going to other things than the athletic department, and Miami has suffered for that because of the misappropriation of where all that money's gone off the television contracts and their program.
Jesse, suffered. You still pay for cable, so maybe you're helping pay these bills.
I do.
You're like the only human being that still has cable.
Yeah. So I guess I'm the reason why all these coaches are making all this money and all these conferences and teams are doing so well. But somebody will know. Like, you've got all these super smart guys on this show. You've got Edward Ashcroft, the beat writer of the Orlando Sentinel.
Edgar Thompson.
Excuse me.
Ed Ashcroft, I think, passed away.
He did pass away. I beg your pardon. Edgar Thompson. You've got all these smart people that come on here. You had Ivan Meiser. Ask them, where is this money coming from? They're coming from TV. Okay, well, who is paying the TV?
Well, where is Daniel that tells you from? Right here. Daniel says advertisers.
Advertisers. Okay. Advertisers. So what else are the advertisers paying for? I mean, they got to be paying for other things too. I mean, it takes a lot of money to run a network or a business, but maybe that's it. That's it. You know, Kraft Heinz, General Motors.
Well, here's the thing. The bowl game in Charlotte between North Carolina and South Carolina is called the Duke Mayo Carolina Bowl. What is Duke's Mayo paying? They're paying for everything, right?
I don't know, but think about what they're paying for. And here's the thing. We had people before streaming was the thing. People were paying $5, $6, $7 on their monthly bill every month for programming they may not have watched, or for ESPN, right? They were paying it. Before you had streaming, before you had anything, you were paying for your cable bill. And on your cable bill, you were paying $5, $6, $7, $8 a month to ESPN. And you probably didn't even know you were paying it. but it was part of your cable bill. And then the cord cutting happened, right? And streaming gets in the way. So now you're telling me that those advertising rates have exceeded the cost of what their business was doing before streaming. And maybe that's the truth. Maybe that is the truth. Maybe that's why your steak at Spurrier's with that ketchup you pour on there is so much more expensive than it used to be. Not ketchup, but steak sauce.
You put ketchup on your steak sauce. Casey?
Well, I meant on a hamburger, on a cheeseburger, something like that. So, I mean, maybe that's why everything's so expensive, QB. Prices are going up everywhere. Maybe, you know, your salary needs to go up here on this podcast. Get your agent on that. I mean, get somebody to talk.
Speaking of, Eric says Chris Doring Mortgage did a great job refinancing his house.
There you go.
All right, good deal. All right, JC, we'll let you run, my man.
Okay.
I know you're going to go get glued to ESPN2, checking out signing day to see what's going on.
Oh, yes, so exciting. It will be a lot of good SEC schools. I mean, it's going to Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, LSU.
Those are the three schools vying for the number one recruiting class.
Yeah, I mean, number one, number two, number three. Who knows what the difference is. But it will be fun to see what Florida can pull off in such a short period of time. I think he's
John says something. If a steak is good, it doesn't need anything added to it. I agree 100%, John. But JC claims to be from New York, and he puts like ketchup on his eggs and all that kind of stuff. That's what Yankees do.
Yankees. Go Yankees.
You claim to be from New York somehow.
From Gainesville. But I've been in New York hundreds of times. It used to be a great city. I don't know what's happened to it, but all right.
All right, JC, get ready. Hey, hang on a second. When's the first bowl game?
Well, it's like Friday.
Oh, it's Friday. We'll start our picks on Friday. You got a chance to come back.
Are we going to do all the bowl games Friday or Sunday?
Why not? What else are we going to do?
Well, we got another Friday after that, but I hear you. Okay.
We'll do the bowl games up to that Friday.
Okay. We'll start it on Friday. Sounds like the plan.
All right. That's JC. Okay. Join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. Going to take our first time out, come back. I'll keep getting you're stuck with me, folks. Today, tomorrow, we'll have Brent Beard recap all what's going on today. But shoot me your Facebook Lives, your text messages. You're watching and listening to Pot Owen Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics. Live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips. It's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Aikido America, Gator's Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Are you tired of being sidelined by nagging pain? Hi, I'm Emmitt Smith, Hall of Famer and Dance with the Stars champion. Happy to tell you about QC Kinetics and their biologic therapies for treating pain without drugs or surgery.
Are you suffering from chronic pain in your hips, knees, shoulder, or lower back? Are you tired of living with arthritis pain? QC Kinetics offers natural pain treatment that can repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints.
Listen, I know pain, and I've seen firsthand how powerful biologic therapies can be. Patients at QC Kinetics rave about their result because they're getting their lives back. They're getting moving again.
These exciting regenerative treatments used to be available only to pro athletes like Emmett. Now they're available to anyone thanks to QC Kinetics. Call today for your free consultation.
Get long-lasting results from my friends at QC Kinetics.
Call QC Kinetics 352-400-4550. In North Central Florida, call 352-400-4550. QC Kinetics 352-400-4550.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration points where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Nike, Regal Cinemas, Le Macaron, Dave & Buster's, Medici's, Palmetto Moon, and the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, which is now serving brunch on Saturday and Sundays. We'll see you at Celebration Point where the Gators go to celebrate. I want to thank JC for joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. If you missed it, today is National Signing Day, the early period. The Gators have two guys signed, sealed, and delivered. Big tight end slash athlete, Tony Livingston out of the Tampa area. And then got a flip from Notre Dame. Devin Moore out of Naples High School is going to be a Florida Gator. So it looks like a good start for Billy Napier and his staff. Probably see a few more guys later this afternoon, but I don't think you're going to see a huge, huge allotment of players in the early signing period. Could be wrong, but we shall see. Got some Facebook Lives here. Richard says, brought to you by Mel Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators, says, couple of winners for the Gators on signing day. Yeah, it looks that way. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, Alabama, we just mentioned Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M, supposedly one of those three will have the number one recruiting class. But it is what it is. It's going to take a little time. But I think Billy Napier and his staff will do a good job once he gets his full staff. Joseph said Devin Moore is a big pickup for Napier. Well, that's good to know. Some of you guys follow recruiting very closely. I don't. But, yes, Ramon says – or Raymond says, trust the process. Yeah, I think Coach Napier, they got a plan, folks. They have a plan. And I'm anxious to see what happens with this roster after the bowl game. And I don't know if Coach Napier's met with all the players or just some that thought about going the transfer, or some of the older guys that wanted to opt out or what have you. But you could see more guys going into the portal, and you may see some after spring ball going to the portal. So time will tell. It's going to be a lot of turnover, I believe, and I think it's going to be for the best, quite honestly. At Chris Doring Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right. They help home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doring Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. Got a text on the Titan MR text line. It is from, I think it's from Bill. He says, what does it say here? He must have typed this in there. He said, JC must like that song by U2, New Year's Day, laugh out loud. Yeah, he's all about the games being on New Year's Day, which I don't know what the difference between a game on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. It's not that big a difference to me. We got a Facebook Live. We got a couple of Facebook Lives here. Rick says, what about Dylan Gabriel from UCF? Yes, he's in the portal. Have not heard where he may end up. Shoot, he may come here. Who knows? Joseph says, brought to you by Mellon Law, two potential flips still on the board today. See, Joseph is a recruiting guy. He likes to follow this. Shane Washington is committed to Georgia, and it appears we have a shot at Kamari Wilson, the five-star guy who's also committed to Georgia. Kamari is a IMG guy, and they've been hard after those guys. Yeah. You know, what's interesting about the IMG is, don't get me started on that because I don't believe in it, but people always, I don't know if it skews the numbers when they say Ohio State and Clemson and Oklahoma and Georgia, for example, are taking guys, these five stars out of the state of Florida from the IMG Academy. Well, most of the kids at the IMG Academy aren't even from the state of Florida. They're supposed to be playing their high school ball in Texas or California or somewhere like that. So I don't know if that skews the numbers when they say they took this kid, from the state of Florida. John says, Washington's a 50-50. Wilson's a Gator fan and got the last visit this weekend, although he will be tough to flip. So we'll see. I don't know if these guys are having a signing day at their high school or what. That's what the kid out of Naples did it this morning. I just saw it on Twitter, and it looked like his girlfriend or his mom or sister or somebody stood up and unzipped her jacket and had a Gator shirt on underneath it. Just got a text. This text right here comes from Lewis. Lewis is pretty long here. I'll paraphrase. He's referring to the quarterback situation. He's basically asking me, who do I think our quarterback will be next year? Do you think Billy Napier is going to sign some? I'm assuming he's going to sign one or two quarterbacks, is what I have been told. Now, he's not going to sign guys just to sign them. And I believe that's what I heard the issue when they met with the Evers kid out of Texas, who's now committed to Oklahoma, is I think the old staff told Nick Evers, you're going to be our only quarterback in this class. I think from what I was told, and you never can believe everything you hear, is that when he sat down with the family, he's like, we'd love to have you, Nick, but we're also going to bring in another quarterback. So I still think Billy Napier and his staff will bring in two quarterbacks. I don't know what that does to the quarterbacks, the four scholarship kids we have now. Do some of them enter the portal? We will see. I think you could see some guys transfer after spring at the quarterback position. I don't know. I think that's something that's going to need to be addressed quickly. But we will see. All right. We got some Facebook lives here for our people that aren't reading Facebook. Joseph says, Kamari tweeted he was going to shock the world today, but who knows? Just could be a publicity stunt. John says, I read last night that Napier has offered Jack Miller from Ohio State, who's currently in the portal. Is Jack Miller a quarterback? I'm not sure, John. You'd have to let – yeah, quarterback. Okay, so there you have it. The last quarterback to transfer from Ohio State was pretty good. A guy named Joe Burrow decided to win the Heisman Trophy. So anyway, we're going to take our second time out, come back, wrap up this edition. I'm getting all kinds of texts here, trying to follow what's going on with the with signing, but it still looks like Gators only signed two guys at the moment. We'll take our second time out. You're listening and watching Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios at South State Bank. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State has four convenient Alachua County location, South State Bank, banking forward, member FDIC. Appreciate all the Facebook Lives and text messages today on the Titan MR text line. Chris asked here on Facebook Live, Shane, what do you think about the John Kitna's son at quarterback? Does he have a shot? He's probably one of the better throwers on the team. He's got kind of a long release. I've only seen him practice a little bit here and there. It's just weird. He's from the state of Texas, new staff. Probably go through the off season, maybe spring, see what his opportunities are. And then if he doesn't think he's going to have an opportunity to play here, he may look elsewhere. I don't have any information there, but he's a good kid. So we'll see what happens there. Don't forget tomorrow we have Brent Beard. If you got any questions for Brent, who follows college football daily, nightly, he'll give us some good information tomorrow as well. We'll also have a little Baker Sporting Goods High School Roundup. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's program. We appreciate all you listening. Let all your friends and family know about our program. We're trying to grow it. You know, all the different outlets. There's Facebook, YouTube. You can watch it live on Twitter now, I think. It's crazy. But today's show is a wrap, brought to you by Rap Spot. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.